This episode of The Tome is brought to you by RPGNow.com, your leading source for PDF game products, and GamersAddict.com, where you can get your physical game product at a discount while supporting a local show and get free swag with every purchase, plus use the coupon code RADIO to get $3 off your purchase of $30 or more. And listeners like you, thanks for using The Tome's affiliate links in stores.
My name is Harley Stroh, and I'm the line editor for the Goodman Games Dungeon Crawl Classics. And you are about to enter the dungeon of the Vorpal Network. Snicketer snack. Roll for initiative.
Hey, this is Rich.
And I'm Mick.
From the Canon Puncture Show, and you're listening to The Tome with Jeff.
Delve into its mysteries and your eyes will bleed. Or just get a lot of good information about D&D products.
Welcome to The Tome, episode 109. The Tome is a D&D news, reviews, and interview show, and I'm your Tome host, Jeff Greiner. In this episode, we're going to get academic with the quintessential wizard. So you might notice in the background a little bit of extra noise in this episode. I am recording while they are building a house next door, but this is the time that I had to record, and I wanted to make sure to get this episode recorded and ready for you guys, so here I am recording. If you hear some banging in the background, that's why. In this episode, I have a review that was written by somebody named Dirk, who is from my own gaming group. He was lent a review copy of the book The Quintessential Wizard, which I received from Mongoose Publishing, and they published it along with a small company called Asheron. Now, some of what is in this book has been replaced, done better, or done with a different take in other books like Arcane Power, but this book adds a lot of interesting options for wizards, and it is just focused on the one class, not an entire arcane-powered source. But before we get into Dirk's review, I wanted to include a quick word from our sponsor, RPGNow.com. My pick for this episode is a new book from Goodman Games, currently only $13 from RPGNow.com, and containing four new 4th edition classes. Forgotten Heroes, Scythe and Shroud introduces death as a new power source for 4th edition characters. All of the four new classes presented in this book draw upon the death power source. The assassin is a dedicated killer that relentlessly stalks his victim, waiting in the shadows for just the right moment to launch a deadly assault. The Death Warden is a sentinel on the boundary between life and death who uses his shield to make sure that when trouble arrives, his friends and enemies each wind up on the right side of that boundary. The Necromancer is a student of death and undeath who is at home in the grimmest tokens, with the grimmest tokens of mortality. His dark arts give him command of the entropic forces that blossom when death triumphs over life, as well as the negative energies that allow the dead to rise again and wreak vengeance on the living. And the Spirit Sworn is an armored knight who fights on behalf of those who are no longer among the living. His relationship with the souls of the departed allow him to draw upon the spirits to aid his cause.
Get the newest releases at RPG Now. Only at RPG Now can you get the absolute latest and best releases from fantastic publishers like Palladium Books and White Wolf Publishing. There are new products every single day. Come to RPGNow.com and get them the instant they're available.
And now, The Quintessential Wizard, a review by Dirk. The book itself is not hardbound like the Player's Handbook. This makes it difficult to leave it open on the game table unless you want to crease the spine of the book. I'm sure it's cheaper to produce paperback over hardcover, so I understand why Asheron chose to go paperback. The whole book is black and white. There are nice illustrations throughout the book, but the lack of color is a marked contrast to the easy, referenceable, color-coded powers in the Wizards of the Coast books, like encounter powers are colored maroon and at-will powers are green, etc. The Quintessential Wizard powers have a different little icon to show you they are encounter or daily powers. The ink does not seem to smudge like my version of the Player's Handbook does. In all, the quality is good for what it is, most quality for least cost. Critics of the Player's Handbook's meager index will not have the same criticisms of the Quintessential Wizard, because there is no index. As a player, the first thing I did was go straight to the goodies, spells. What kind of new toys will I get to have? The first thing that jumped out at me is how much better these new spells seem to be. Score. All the player's handbook at will spells are D6 damage, and electrocution is D8. Skimming ahead, many of the spells seem better than what I had been using. Now, worries of imbalance started creeping into my bag of excitement, so I decided to analyze it in more depth and see. I created a spreadsheet with all the player's handbook wizard spells and all of the quintessential wizard spells to compare side by side, level by level, the spells and their power. Player's handbook has 81 spells, including paragon spells. The quintessential wizard has 72, including paragon spells, almost doubling the spells available. You certainly get your money's worth. Now concerns of role creep began to seep into my bag of excitement. What will happen when all the classes have their own books? So many powers. Surely they would all be stepping on each other's toes. But after analyzing the data, I started to feel better. When I compared same level spells between the two books, the quintessential wizard spells were quite similar in damage and effect to the player's handbook spells. Some of them sound cooler in description, but not more powerful. The only thing still worrying me is the electrocution at willpower, which does a D8, but I looked at the cleric first level at will spell Lance of Faith, which does a D8, and the warlock first level at will spell Eldritch Blast, which does a D8, and came to the conclusion that the electrocution spell is definitely in line with those powers. There are 14 new paragon paths, where there's only 4 in the player's handbook, and these are great. So many ways to focus your wizard to the way you want to play. Upon reflection, I came to the realization that as a player, I can select one of these cool paragon paths and really have some fun with it. But what really made me ponder is how a DM now has 14 new NPC paths to specialize their creature's specialty on a weakness of the party. I do not look forward to the day that we come up against a pair of twin wizards who both took the Geminis paragon path. But now I'm going to break in with a quick talk about our second sponsor of the episode, GamersAddict.com, where my pick of the episode is the Chessex Pound of Dice for under $25. One of their all-time bestsellers has returned with an all-new mix. All bags now contain one random complete set of 7 dice, along with the usual assortment of random dice. It contains opaque, speckled, translucent, marbleized, and rainbow pearl dice. It's an entire pound of dice for under $25. And don't forget, if you get your order up to $30, you can use the coupon code RADIO and get $3 off.
Gamers Attic Attack! We have dice of every stripe, any color scheme and shape you can imagine. Exclusive dice, gold-plated dice, blank dice, label dice, cheat dice, D8 ability dice, crystal dice, time dice within dice, and jumbo foam dice for when you feel the inescapable urge to pelt your fellow players or annoying commercial announcers. And that's just a few of them. We sell enough dice to form a high-intensity plastic bridge from the Earth to the Moon. What's more, any order over $30 gets $3 off when you use the coupon code RADIO. Who wants a set?
I do.
Who else?
Me.
Anyone else?
Why are you ignoring me?
I'm not ignoring you. I'm cutting you off.
What?
You order a new set every day.
So?
Is there a 12-step program for Diceaholics? Because you, sir, have a problem.
That's really strange of you to say.
Green frosted, red speckled, violet glitter, blue translucent. You couldn't say no to these beauties if you wanted to.
I'm not an addict. I could stop collecting marbles anytime I lack.
Marbles? You haven't been buying marbles this whole time. You've been buying dice.
That explains why I keep losing the marbles tournament. Those 4 and 6-sided marbles aren't really all that great for rolling.
You're not only a dice junkie, you're dumb, son. Dumb.
So can I get a set?
What'll it hurt? Sure.
Woohoo! Marbles!
Remember, folks, use the coupon code RADIO to get $3 off any order over $30 at GamersAddict.com.
Now back to the review, and back to spells. One thing in the player's handbook spell choices that seemed to be lacking was the lack of being a weapon-wielding wizard. There are spells sprinkled throughout the Quintessential Wizard that have the weapon indicator rather than the however many dice damage. This supports the Keeper of the Dwemer Paragon path in the Quintessential Wizard. There is a section in the Quintessential Wizard that helps outline potential class origins, thug, inventor, apprentice, etc., suggesting powers and feats, just like the Player's Handbook does. It also has a section describing each race with respect to the wizard class and how the wizard fits in with that society. One section I was not thrilled with was the section that added more arcane implements, over and above the orb, wand, and staff in the player's handbook. The Hat of Wizardry, the Dragon Mask Safeguard Shield, and Unreal Mirror. My first thought was, great, more treasure for us to find that no one can use. You must have a pretty sympathetic DM to put a good Dragon Mask magic item in the treasure pile if you choose your wizard to use that as his arcane implement. I really think the most use for these non-standard implements would be gained from DMs who want to have the NPC wizard have more power without having to add that power to the adventuring group after the defeat, or for role-playing purposes to fit into that wizard's story. I really think this book adds to the wizard class for both the player and the DM without unbalancing the power. You can still only have one paragon path. You can still only sustain a finite number of sustained powers. You still have the same limit of spells for each tier you can cast per day or per encounter. Should a group adopt this book when it is published as allowable by itself? I believe it's great. But without seeing further releases of this series for the other classes, you may paint yourself into a corner if one or more of them imbalances that class, and then have to pick and choose which quintessential book you're going to allow or disallow. But Quintessential Wizard does not seem to have any particular balance problems. And I want to thank Dirk for that review of The Quintessential Wizard. And this has been episode 109. Don't forget you can email me at thetomeshow@gmail.com or visit the forums when they finally get reinstalled. They've been written, it's been done, we just got to get things installed and set up the skeleton again. Don't forget to review the show on iTunes or tell folks about it. And don't forget to consider checking out the Tome's RPG Shop affiliate link or Amazon store for products discussed on this show and more. The show gets part of the proceeds, and that helps keep us on the air. And also don't forget to visit our sponsors, RPGNow.com and GamersAddict.com, and make sure you tell them that the Tome Show sent you, so they'll continue sponsoring the show, which helps pay for our bills, which helps keep the show going. Links for things mentioned on the show can be found in the show notes on the website at thetomeshow.com, and this has been episode 109 of The Quintessential Wizard of
The Tome, The Tome, The Tome, The Tome, The Tome, The Tome, The Tome.
I'm on the wall.